Welcome to Coach Your Brains Out, the show that explores learning from the top minds in volleyball and beyond. With your hosts, John Mayer, Billy Allen, Andrew Fuller, and Nils Nielsen.
We're happy to have back on the show Stanford head coach Kevin Hambley. Kevin, congrats on a second national championship, and thanks once again for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys. I mean, I love what you guys do, so it's fun to be a little bit a part of it.
Well, thank you. I'm sure it felt great, but different to win another one. When you have expectations to win, does it feel any different? Is it more of a relief, or does it still feel pretty sweet?
I honestly, this time it was more. I felt more sadness. I was happy that the team. It was a fun group to be around, and I was happy for the players. And you know, it was. We were lucky. We were playing really well at the end, and it felt very different in the fact that it was kind of anticlimactic as far as the final match. But when it was all over, the overwhelming feeling that I had was just really was sadness. I just was really sad that group that I was able to coach for those 3 years, I wouldn't be able to coach anymore. And you know, I remember one of the first people I got a hug was Morgan Henson. You know, I'm just like, hey, congrats. You know, it's great job or whatever. I don't remember. And she's just like, I'm so sad. And my comment back to her was like, I was getting emotional before practice that day, like in our morning walk, serving pass, just knowing that this is the last match that we're going to be able to coach each other or work together. And it just was a really sad feeling at the end. I mean, you're of course happy you won, but you know, if all it's about is the winning and losing, then what are we doing this for? It was much more about being together and taking care of each other. And it felt that way at the end. And if that felt real. And so, that felt good, I guess, that it felt like it was like we were really emotionally attached to each other, as opposed to just it being, we won a championship. Now let's, that's what that was all about. It's about the meaning that came from competing and growing together.
Yeah. I remember watching one of the interviews after, and I did get that impression from you now that you're saying it, I'm remembering it. And I think it's really insightful into saying, you know, who you are, that, yeah, you're more about the relationships, how much you care about the people than, you know, how good you look after winning a title. It wasn't all about you. So it's pretty cool that you have that.
It's never about us, right? I mean, it's never about the coaches.
If it unless is, you lose.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Then we screwed up. And then it's the perfect time to take it out. Thank you for correcting me, John. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I know you guys probably won't ever really be underdogs, but obviously after losing graduating a class of seniors that, you know, like the ones you just had, you won't necessarily be favorites, you know, if we do have a season. At some point we will. Right. But are you looking forward to this new challenge, or do you think, yeah, do you even think much about those expectations?
I mean, all the expectations that are coming there's two places where expectations come, internally and externally. And the external expectations from last year, if we were to listen to those, you know, if we lost a set, we probably played the toughest schedule in the country. And if we lost one set for the season, then we failed, which was ridiculous. And so for us, what was good about that from last year was that we don't need to listen to the expectations from the outside. But the expectations from the inside were the same for the last – they'll be the same this year as it was the last 2 years. It's going to be, hey, let's see if we can be the best team we possibly can be at the end of the year, and the rest of it kind of takes care of itself. Do we feel like we have the talent where we can set a realistic goal that we could win the national championship? Yes. Then let's make that goal. So if that keeps you motivated, then let's focus on that. But let's just focus on getting better every single day and see how good we can be at the end of the year. And so for me, I'm excited about trying to reinvent this team and get this new group out there. And we have some really talented young players, and to see how they grow and what they become. But really our focus and the expectations are just how good can we be, you know, and that's where I hope I stay with that. I think the times when I've struggled as a coach is when I've been pulled off of that. And I made mistakes where I was more worried about performance than I was about growth and our development. And usually that stuff started to come when I allowed some of those voices from the outside to get into my head and, you know, try to live up to someone else's expectations instead of just the expectations that are inside of our gym.
Yeah, it's way more in your control, but it's so hard to stay on that. But that's awesome that you're doing that. So the topic we talked about was embracing failure, and you suggested it. I was a little surprised that you suggested it, because, you know, looking from the outside, you know, to us, it doesn't seem like you guys have experienced that much failure. So I'm wondering why this topic's important to you and your team.
Well, I mean, a couple reasons. First off, I don't think that we would have repeated these last two had we not failed in 17, because we had a very similar team, obviously, a little younger and all that. But I think the lessons that we learned from the failure that happened in 17, you know, we had a team that could win it, and we didn't get our culture in a place. And this is all on me 100%, where I did push things the way I needed to get the culture in a place where we could win it. And after that year was over, you know, I owned that with the team and talked about how I failed them and that I wasn't going to let that happen. And we got to work trying to, you know, take care of business the next year in 18. And we were fortunate. The team got better and better, and we put ourselves in a position to win, and we won. And but more importantly, I thought we were playing at a really high level at the end of the year, and we got the most out of that group. And I think if we hadn't had that experience in 17 of having the failure, then it would have been harder for me to keep them motivated and engaged in the next season in 19. And I don't think we would have repeated if not, like I mentioned. I think because of that, we were able to talk about when we were taking some things for granted in our communication or in our work ethic or just pieces in our culture, that we were all able to call that out. And it wasn't just coming from me. It was coming from especially the seniors that were incredible to make sure that we stayed on task and that that our culture was strong enough that we could perform at the highest level at the end of the year. And, you know, I thought they did that in spades. Like, without a doubt, we were playing at the best level we had over the 3 years at the end of the season last year. And that's really a credit to them being committed to making the culture great and working hard and all that. But I think it's because of the failure that we had in 17, where we weren't performing at the best that we could at the end of the year, and our culture was a little bit disjointed. The other part of that is that, you know, we're talking about failure. We're talking about this new group that I have, and I have all these really highly ranked recruits that know nothing but success. And the things that we're talking about with them in the gym, you know, as they're starting to perform, and this goes for the players that we've had for a long time. I mean, this would be the same with everybody, but kind of talking about the idea of just racing towards failure and pushing yourself in a place where it's hard enough and testing yourself in ways where you make sure that you do fail in practice, you know? So I'll give you an example of that. Like Catherine Plummer coming in her first 2 years, she had a zero line shot. And I mean, she could hit it, but it wasn't something that she felt comfortable doing, especially in a big moment. And she'd have practices we talked to her about, you know, and she was so successful most of the time, not just hitting in the cross and then hitting more cross. And if it got dug, she'd hit harder. And she's powerful enough that she can get away with that most of the time until we got to the elite level. And more importantly, for her development, until she got to the national team and professional, she's going to have more range and have those shots. And so the things that her and I talked about and the things that you saw from her in practice was, in practice, she'd be going up, hitting line, hitting line, hitting line, and missing and failing a lot, hitting negative in practice, and not getting frustrated about it, knowing that she needed to go through that in order to have the success and have the confidence later on in a match situation. And I, you know, we saw our younger players saw that, and our freshmen saw that from her as she was adding things to her game, and every one of our players. But I think that's where it's most important to me, is that our new players right now just kind of use a term a little bit like racing towards failure, or running towards failure, and trying to fail at some level, trying to push yourself to a point where you do fail, because that's where the real growth happens.
I love that racing towards failure idea. I'm going to use that for sure. Do you find, like, so same with someone like Plummer, getting her to, you know, make mistakes and kind of race towards failure, was she more open to it if you give her, you know, more technical cue, you know, like, you got to change this in your approach to be able to hit line? Or is it more that external cue of, like, you know, just give her a target, go hit that a bunch? Is one of those more effective?
No, for her, it was more about, hey, look, here's where people are stopping you occasionally. And she just had this thing that she wanted to dominate the world, right? I mean, there's like, she wanted to be the best player she could be, and she wanted to dominate every match. And so if anything that I would point out, there's so much stuff that she added to her game, and all of it came from a place of like, here's the highest level players in the world are doing this. Watch them do it. If you want to be a high level player, you need to add that. And so I guess externally more, but internally she had that thing where like, she just wanted to have to be great. She just wants to be great. And she still does. I have no doubt she's in the USA gym right now, like making a ton of mistakes, trying to sort stuff out, trying to be the best she can be, because that's just kind of how she's wired, where she it took her a while to understand that she needed to fail to be the best she can be. But now I every day she got into practice, she was just, you know, running towards failure, to use that term again. I think the one thing when people hear us talk about that they get a little concerned with is just like, what about too many errors? You know, and I think the thing that we talk about also is just, we're judging things on intention. Like, what's the intention of that error? And then, you know, are you giving a great effort? And if you're doing those two things, then and you're racing towards that failure, you're putting yourself in a great situation to grow.
Yeah, and that's awesome that you were able to get her to buy into that. How do you make maybe the athletes that aren't the All-American on your team, they're going to play no matter what, how do you make some of those kids on the bubble feel safe in practice to take risks when maybe they feel they might not start because of it, or in a little different situation?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because, you know, they're worried about performing a little bit at a high level, and obviously, and they're trying to beat somebody out ahead of them. But I think two things is that it's all about communication. It's all about the messaging. It's like, hey, here's why you're not playing. You need to add these things to your game, whether it's some kind of technique, passing, or something offensively. And then, in order to do that, you're going to have to get uncomfortable. Obviously, you're going to have to struggle, which means you're going to fail, and you just got to kind of lean into that. And we're, you know, there's times in practice when we're doing a lot of things where we're not statting it. You know, we're not using that as a tool to determine our starters all the time. Like, we'll have some competitive stuff where we let them just compete, but like, there's certainly times that we give them where they can go and make a bunch of mistakes. So we message that, like, this is what we want from you. We want you to have this kind of intention in practice. We want you to work really hard at this, whatever this skill or technique is that you need to change. And then I think most importantly, how we respond to that is the key as coaches. When we see them make a mistake that has great intention and great effort, we're rewarding that. And sometimes when they're getting away with stuff a lot of times when they're getting away with something, or doing something that's outside of what we were asking them to work on, and it's successful or not, we're going to get on them about that. Like, hey, look, are you staying in this comfort zone where you're doing what's worked for you forever? Because we know where that leads. It's not going to lead to an opportunity on the court. If you want to get on the court, you got to make these changes, and you got to do this, this, and this. And so let's stay on task here. So I don't know if that answers your question, Billy, but that's kind of where I took it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, definitely. What about with newcomers? I know I find a lot of people who come from maybe a different culture where failure is maybe they're, you know, beaten up for it, or you know, they just don't have the same relationship with failure as you might have in your culture. How do you get them to just feel like failure is a good thing? And how do you get them to be more comfortable in the way you do things?
Well, certainly having modeling in the gym, you know, like when your best players already have that kind of mentality where they're racing towards failure, that helps. But I think, you know, a lot of the athletes that come in, a lot of my young players right now, maybe they're not even able to pay attention to that. They're just kind of trying to figure themselves out a little bit. They're not always looking around. You know, if you point out, hey, look at this modeling, look at them pass, they watch that. But for the most part, for lack of a better term, they're just trying to survive and trying to figure it out. And so what we do is basically kind of put some things on them, like, hey, look, you have to do this right now. Hit line. Here's why we want you to do this, but you have to hit line the entire time. And we don't care if you make a mistake or if you hit it right. We just want to see you do that. And then when they start doing it, like, so let's say Katie Barrett just hitting nothing but line and she's missing 50% of the time, we're celebrating that with her. And when she goes away from that and all of a sudden hits in the cross, we're kind of on her about it. And then after talk about it a little bit and say, hey, look, I understand that this is easy for you to go to this place, but if you're going to be the best player you can be, and you know, all kind of the same kind of messaging that goes on. I think one of the challenges is that I'll give you an example. I was watching a basketball practice and this coach was really asking this player to make a change. And it was really hard. It was a women's basketball practice. And this player was trying to make this change and I could see it. And, you know, we all have coached, we've seen kids and they have great intention and she's working hard. And every time she would go to make this change, she was putting herself out there and she was totally uncomfortable. And when she would fail, he would be all, he'd get all over her. He'd start yelling at her. And when he, when she would have success, he'd celebrate it, but he wasn't celebrating the intention of the effort. And at one point, like, she was losing her mind. I could see it. And at one, he's screaming at her with every mistake, which is happening more than it's not, because it's a hard change for her. And at one point in practice, he starts screaming at her, "Why are you playing with so much fear? Like, why are you playing with so much fear?" Huh. And and I was just like, it was an exaggerated example of what I see happen a lot in practices, that, or in practices that you go, whether it's a club practice or other college practices or, you know, whatever, you see these coaches asking these players to make changes, and then they're getting upset because they're making errors. And for us, like, really, I tell the team, I don't raise my voice very much anyway, but the only time I raise my voice really is if there's a lack of effort. That's the only time. And then if there's a lack of intention, we just try to keep them on that. But I think going back to the original question, just creating a culture where everyone on the court, everyone around is free to kind of make mistakes and not feel like they're going to be berated for that. For a lot of our young players, that's new, and it takes a while for them to get acclimated to that. But that's the culture that we want to create in our gym, where everyone just feels totally free to kind of explore their game and try to make changes. And, you know, there's pieces of it. It's a nice space because you can add some autonomy to that, which I've heard you talk about, and is important to us. Like, hey, what would you like to work on today? And hey, everyone, they're working on this, you know, Plumber's working on line shots. Let's make sure we're celebrating when Plumber's hits that line shot on a really uncomfortable situation, one that we know isn't a shot that she'd normally hit. Let's make sure that we're talking about that together. And so you kind of create that messaging and create that culture around, at least, you know, that's what we're striving for in our gym. Are we perfect? No, but that's certainly what we're striving for in our gym.
That sounds fun.
Is there?
I think it's fun. Yeah.
Is there a distinction? Is there a distinction between productive and unproductive failure? Is there any kind of failure that you don't want to be rushing towards?
Yeah, the ones that don't have the appropriate intention, you know, that don't have a great intention. Actually, that's the term we use a lot. Like, I have great intention. Just mean, like, you don't like that set, and so you just kind of take it and you swat it out of bounds, you know, and just, and like that. Those are the ones. But if it's a situation that is a difficult situation and they're still going for it, to me, that's just going to make them stronger. I mean, I keep using the line example because so many players need to be able to hit line. But like, if there's a ball that's off the net at like 8 feet, that's a tough ball to have the courage to go down the line. And they're probably going to make that error more often than not. And, you know, if we go back to Plumber, she certainly did. But she would go for it and she'd work on it and she'd try it. And she had that intention. And then when it came, you know, there's a match in the national championship semifinal where she got a ball at 10 foot and they gave her line. She saw it and she went for it and crushed it from, you know, 9-10 feet off the net or whatever it was. I don't think she hits that shot if she didn't make all those mistakes that maybe could be questionable. So for me, it's all, again, really just about that intention. Like, is the intention there? And if the intention's there, then that's a good error. As long as you're not just wildly going for things, I think at least they're striving to grow. And that's really what we're looking for.
So if you get fired up when they're racing towards the failure that has the intention, what do you do when they're not as mindful and it's a failure that is more of a mindless mistake?
Yeah. Mostly start a conversation like, "Yeah, you made that mistake there. What'd you think about that error? What were you going for there?" You know, and get them talking about it mostly. It's usually typically how we go. If the intention's not there, they start to prod and kind of poke at what was their intention, you know? And a lot of times, I'd say 90% of the times, it was like, "I lost focus for a minute, I'll get back on it," kind of deal. You know, a few times, like, "I'm frustrated." And then it's like, okay, it's okay to be frustrated, but do you think that's going to help you? You know, and just kind of start that conversation. There's a lot of, we operate much more in a place of conversations, hopefully shorter rather than longer, but where if things are going on, I just want to engage in a conversation with them and see what's getting in the way. A lot of times it's frustration. Sometimes it's just lack of focus. And if they're being honest with us, and that kind of gets them back on task.
And it seems like a lot of the failure we're talking about is like developing a new skill in practice. And so there's going to be failure there. But I think you started too talking about that whole season where maybe it felt like a failure because you ended not how you guys wanted to. If it's more of that kind of failure, I guess, what steps do you take following, whether it's a loss or you guys just fell short? I guess, how do you evaluate and use that kind of failure?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a cultural failure, you know, then that's good. It points out some things that we need to work on as a group, and we can start addressing that. And so, you know, for us, it was really about our cohesive. Like, if I could look back at the season in 17, it was about our cohesiveness, but really about honest communication. There was a lot of false getting along. Like, we weren't really getting along. Like, we pretended like we were cohesive. Yeah. It wasn't real. And they were friends off the court, and that was fine, but they weren't really being honest with each other when they had issues or things like that. And so those were easy to address. And, you know, hopefully we got our leadership looking out for the kind of lack of honest communication. Sometimes it's about trust. And so then we try to get to the bottom of what's getting in the way of that. In a loss, sometimes it's about preparation. So then it's always about honest evaluation after, you know, even if you're, as I looked at the 2017 season, I was, you know, I was like, let's evaluate this, what happened here. And you have to be honest with yourself. Like, and I always start with, where did I fail? And I failed at not holding them accountable to that, not doing enough teaching, not, trying to imprint. And when I saw things that weren't going the way that I thought they should go, I allowed them to happen, and I tolerated those behaviors. So of course those behaviors ended up becoming the norms. And so then I addressed that. And with the players, if there's behaviors that they're struggling with something, kind of attack that the same, like, well, what's happening here? If it's between a couple of players, if it's in an individual's mindset, you know, like as far as how they're approaching it, like what's getting in the way there, let's be honest about it. And then let's see what we need to do to change. I don't think it's complicated. I think it's just really hard to be honest with yourself and to evaluate yourself honestly, and then be willing to make that change. I think those are the two things that stand in the way for the most part. But especially with cultural things, and especially with cohesive things between players, and also, you know, sometimes between the preparation piece. People are so used to doing things a certain way or eating a certain thing and all that, but it doesn't mean that they're necessarily preparing themselves best as they best can for the match.
So I know I've heard you speak on growth mindset, and that it's a important thing for your culture. And obviously there at Stanford, you got Dr. Dweck on campus, but I'm wondering what you do to make sure it just isn't, like, you know, a buzzword that I think it often can be, and not just, you know, a thing on the wallpaper.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing is, you're right. Like, the growth mindset has just become this idea that's just thrown around all the time. And I think most people just think of it as just hard work. Like, we're just going to work really hard. And I think that's the first part of what we talk about, is we define that from the beginning. And for us, that's what growth mindset is that racing to failure. That's how we've decided to frame it. And then, you know, with what does that mean for us? Like I've said a couple times, just about having great intention and having great work ethic and working hard. And those are the things that we focus on. And so that's what to us is growth mindset. And then with that is the honest evaluation I think that's what we're touching on here with failure. To me, is all this is like kind of defining what growth mindset is in our gym and what that means. It's having that honest evaluation and then getting back to work and having the intentions and having intention at working at the things that you know you need to improve at. And so, like I said, I don't think it's that complicated. I just think it's really hard to keep yourself on that. And it's really hard to keep a team on that at times. You just have to constantly be massaging that and messaging it and telling the right stories.
That's a good way to put it. I'm sure she's, you know, she's probably sought after by everyone, but have you ever been able to get her to come by a practice or be around her?
I have not had her come by a practice. I've listened to her speak. She came and spoke to our coaches, but I have not reached out to her to come out and do that yet. So it's on my list. But yeah, she's pretty busy, and she's all over the world.
Yeah, she's big time. It'd be pretty cool to hear her feedback and to see how she took it.
For sure. I would die to see that. You know, I think it'd be really cool to see what we're our interpretation of what we're, you know, learning from her. It'd be cool to see how far off we are from how she sees it or what she thinks of it.
You had a great example of Plummer being a model in practice for her players and teammates. Are there any ways you as a coach can model embracing failure during practice or for your team?
Well, Yeah, I mean, I think owning it when I make a mistake, you know, I that's the part that, and then trying to get, and I tell them all the time the things I'm trying to work on to get better. I'm pretty open about that, you know, and here's the things I'm trying to do for you guys, and I need feedback from you, and tell me how I'm doing, and tell me if this is working. And I think just having the same open-mindedness to change that they do, and then, you know, I'll try some things in practice, and I had a drill this last year. It was just awful. In my head, it seemed great. And we were about 5 minutes into it. And I said, hey, look, I told you why we're doing this. It's not happening. I'm sorry. Let's change. Let's go to this. I know we can get this out of this drill right here. And then, you know, moved on. And, you know, a couple of players were like, hey, thanks. The drill sucked. You're right. And thanks for stopping that. But we appreciate you saying that. But then also, you know, like there's times when I wasn't as aware. And I had an example this year with Plummer. Like, well, the team, I was getting off track of trying to having a growth mindset. Really, I was started worrying about performance. And after we lost to Washington, like I was just driving them to perform. And it wasn't about growth. And we were struggling, and Plummer was physically struggling. I mean, we shut her down shortly after that. But, she pulled me aside after the match and was like, Kevin, you're not the same. Like you know, you've lost the plot a little bit. This is the terminology she used, but she's like, you're not the same. We need you to be better. You're not on the growth mindset. And, you know, I own that. I was like, you're right. Like it really snapped me out of it. And you're right. I've been all about performance. I'm not enjoying this anymore. I'm not enjoying the moments to teach. I'm not even looking to teach. I'm just getting caught up in our mistakes and not looking at them as like as good failures or bad failures, just getting caught up in all the stuff that I'm saying we shouldn't get caught up in. And thanks for telling me that, and owned it with the team. Like sent a text out that night because we were all spread out and said, hey, look, I'm going to be better for you guys. I'm sorry. Plummer brought this to my attention. She's 100% right. Thank you, Plummer. And then we talked about it the next day and we addressed it and started talking about how I can be better for those guys. And so, you know, for me, like I want to be open to change, and who better than the players that you have to tell you where you're screwing up? They know best. And I also want to have a culture where they feel like they can say that to me. And that wasn't the only time they told me how bad I am at my job. So I'm glad they're making me better.
That's awesome that she was comfortable enough to approach you and say that. That's really powerful. And yeah. It shows that she felt safe around you.
Lucky it was her senior year. I don't think that happens. I don't think that happens early, but I hope it does. I hope our freshmen and sophomores would do that earlier.
That was part one of our conversation with Kevin Hambly. Join us next week for some more failure and a discussion on history here on Coach Your Brains Out by Gold Medal Squared.